your services tonight. If you'd like to just remain standing and read our scripture, remember Revelation 8:1. We won't read it because we read it so many times, but when the Lamb opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half hour. But let's look at 1 Peter 4:1-7. Just read these scriptures because there's a thought here that I want us to pick up tonight. And this has the words in it of what we're trying to do. I'm not just hunting something for the words in it, but I think this fits too. Watch the wording of the scriptures. 1 Peter 4, beginning with the first verse. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excessive wine, revelings, banqueting, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excessive rite, speaking evil of you. You know, that's why most people, they laugh and make fun of you and everything, because you don't go along with their trend, because they're religious and everything. They go to church and all like that. Because you don't go along with all of their doings, they laugh at you. They speak evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, and watch and pray. Now that verse 7 will be what we'll be speaking on, the end of all things. It says, but the end of all things is at hand. Now let's read Matthew 17:10-12. You'll see this is speaking of John and him coming, but also a prophecy of the future. But I want us to look at what it's saying here in verse 10. And his disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elias must first come? Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. Let's just all pray together. Father, we know that we've come to this hour to speak about thee, and we pray that you'd bless us with your presence. Speak unto us that we may speak, that our words may be understood, that you may give the revelation. Guide each one, Lord. Lift us all up in you. Forgive our sins. Bless those that are sick, not able to be with us. Just take away the things, Lord, that would be the hindrances of the people. We pray that you would guide each one. We commit it all to you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, just put the seventh seal, end of all things, if you want to put it on there. I don't remember exactly the amount of messages we preached on this, but maybe some of you kept up with it. But the main point I want you to see tonight is something that in the way that God does anything, I want you to watch this point now throughout the message, that the way God does anything is that it's already happened, and then he reveals it unto us. Now that's the way that God does anything through the Scriptures. He doesn't reveal. Now, watch what I said. He can tell you about the future. You know, he can tell you things about the future, but it's not revealed unto you until it's already completed. Then once it's finished, now you remember off the message we preached back some time ago on how that God does it first, then reveals it, and then makes it manifest. So you keep that in mind now, that he does something, see, then he reveals it, then he makes it manifest. That's why we read these two scriptures. One of them talking about the end of all things is upon us. See, it's here. The end of all things has come. All right. Then the other talking about how the Elias must come and restore all things. That's speaking of the last days, how he must come. But then the disciples So he didn't understand exactly. And Jesus said, well, Elias has already come, talking about John the Baptist then. Then he could talk about something that had already happened and tell them about what had already happened. But he didn't speak any more about what would be, did he? He didn't tell any more about the Elias that would come there, did he? He turned and started speaking of the Elias that had already come, which was John the Baptist. But yet he knew, and Brother Branham used that scripture to speak of the end time, how that God would come and restore all things and use that spirit of Elijah to restore all things, because Elias and Elijah, that's the same word there in the scripture. It's just the New Testament version of it. When it was translated, it come down to Elias, but it's really Elijah is the correct way of saying it that way, where you'd know what you're talking about. But just think now that God does it, then he reveals it, and then he'll make it manifest. Well, you can see where that what I'm believing from what I preached this morning, you ought to be able to see that from what I'm believing in my message and where I've come to, I'm looking for the Lord to make it manifest. Now, I can't make it manifest. I didn't do it, and I can't reveal it, so there's no need of me trying to make it manifest. Now, you'll see I had something to do. When we get to it, you'll see that I had something to do with it being done, because something was done in my life. Then you'll see that I do have something to do with it being revealed, because he reveals it to me. Then the Lord will make it manifest through us. Well, now I believe that's where the church is at, is right to the place, if you can see the message, that the Lord will come on the scene and make it manifest. The reason I believe that is because the prophet said there'd be a latter rain that would come and would sweep the world. And he said the Methodists and the Baptists would be healing the sick, casting out devils. There'd be all kind of miracles happening all over the world. Not just a little handful of the bride of Jesus Christ coming down to all the miracles. That there'd be revivals, there'd be everything. Now watch it start and see if it don't just start getting more and more. Have you turned the radio on lately and listened to the preachers that's on the radio that's in their denominations and things? And hear what they're preaching? I could give you the page number out of the books and some of them. See, they're hearing about the message, whether it just be lip or getting books and reading them or tapes. Did you know that the great Oral Roberts Institute that they've got out there ordered all of Brother Branham's messages, put them in their library where they could study them? See, they knew about it. They know the messages went forth. But they don't know what it is, so they want that message in their possession, at least where they can stay. Now watch it start in an upswing all across the world. It might take a persecution to come on people to cause it. It might take tight bellies and money being kind of tight. It might take, you know, some of the things like that. You might see people losing their jobs. It might do that, because the people's always... Any of these old ones know that back years ago they had to depend on God when they planted their crops. They lost that, they lost everything they had. Wouldn't like us. I mean, I ain't going to starve to death if I don't go to work tomorrow. I ain't got that much money, but I got a few dollars enough to, and at least enough food to eat for a little while. Well, see, but they couldn't do that. They had to depend on the ground and the Lord to take care of it. Well, now, I don't know what will cause it. That's none of my business. But I'm just saying it that way, that by the message and what I see, that I believe you'll see an upswing from now on. And in a speedy way. Because Brother Branham on Spoken Word's original seed, right in the last of it, he said there'll be a move come among the bride. You know, the bride will start coming together in the words. There'll be a move. And he said them denominations will swing together. Just this past week, they've been at it for 5 years. In the Lutheran, and you know, Luther was the first one that come out of the Catholic Church protesting. It preached, just shall live by faith. You know what they're dealing on now? It was in the paper this past week in Atlanta. The Lutheran and the Catholics have compromised until they agree upon something on the just shall live by faith. And the Catholics always believe it's been on works. And the Protestants always believe it's been on faith. Now, to do that, somebody had to give grounds on both sides. One side ain't going to come to that, are they? So the way the article was written, It was written like that the Lutherans was given in and the Catholics were given in, where they could meet a happy medium and go that way on the very thing that they come out of the Catholic Church about. The Protestants, that's the reason the word Protestant is there. It means that you protest. Protestant. That's what the Protestants are supposed to be, somebody that protests, but then they turn around and agree with everything the Catholic. They've done agreed on the communion, the Holy Eucharist, the papal authority. It named about five things that the Lutheran and the Catholics had already agreed on. But now they're to the final point of whether a man's saved by faith, you know, the just shall live by faith, or whether there's some works involved in it. And the Catholic, the man that was talking said the Catholic admitted that a man was saved by Jesus Christ. Well, you see what they're doing. One side give in, one side, the other side give in, till they reach a happy medium. Well, now, I'm not going to give in to try to compromise. I had a church here when I started as pastor that was slap full. Well, now, I've not compromised to try to keep anybody here. I might have said a lot of things that ought not have been said that drove them off. Now, I might have been that away about it, but I'm not going to compromise. I still believe the just shall live by faith. I don't believe a man's saved by works. Works is what you do for God. Salvation is what he done for you. You women, when you married your husband, he become your head, and it's not you working for him, you know, well, I've got to get up and be a good wife. No, you better do it automatic or you're a bad wife. And you're no better than anything out there in the world unless you do willingly from the heart in love and joy and respect for the husband. If you don't do it that way, then it's not worth doing. You might as well forget it. See, because it's Christ in the church, what's your type? But then the man better be on the other side as type in Christ. See, because then he is the type of Christ when you come that way with the church. But now just think. Now, that's the main point I want you to see, is that I believe it's already happened. I believe just what I preached this morning is true. I've based my life on it. I'll have to face God with that unless something comes along the Lord and corrects me somewhere. I believe that what I preached this morning is true. I believe that those seven thunders sounded to the prophet. And those were the angels of the Lord as they brought the messages to him daily in the room. I believe when they sound to us, see, just what I preached this morning. I believe the Lord has already done it. Because now, you watch the setting of it. When the prophet preached the seals, did he quit preaching and just go off the scene? He said it was a brand new Bible to him when the seals broke. And he really was set on fire for the Lord and went preaching. All right, then that's what I'm looking at in the Scriptures. That when the seals breaks to a person, it breaks the Bible and makes it a brand new book to you. And as I said this morning, you'll see me maybe again get to it. You might hear me say it over and over. I've mentioned it lately that my message is at end. I believe it is, because I believe the Lord will come and back up what I've talked about, or we're lost. And then if my message is at an end, then the Lord will come and take over. Now he'll bring his own message. That's what I'm talking about. The Lord will come and bring his own message. I ain't talking about quitting preaching. I'm talking about that the message will change from just what man's been dealing with to the words of the Lord coming forth from those men preaching from the pulpit. And that's what I'm looking at and looking for. And I'm seeing it, and I believe it'll happen more and more. But in doing that, then you'll see all that swing together. And the latter rain will sweep the world. It don't rain out here just, you know, if it rains on a spot that big, a foot in diameter, it rains on good and bad seed, don't it? That's not in the middle of a concrete pavement somewhere. But we're just talking about out in the field. See, it's got to rain on the just and unjust. When the latter rain comes, you'll see every one of the messages that went forth from Brother Brown's message of the people that claimed that was what he was talking about, like two souls, seven thunder virtues, no Holy Ghost doctrine, all kinds. They'll be popping up then and shouting and screaming, glory, look, we stayed with the Word. Boy, we've got it now. Because the rain's falling on us. But the little bride will just right through the middle of it. She'll never change her pace. She'll be laughed at and made fun of by those that would even see her because she'll never change her pace. She'll just keep right on going. It'll get worse and worse probably for her, but she'll just keep right on going. But she'll walk off the earth and she'll judge the world. Now that's what I'm looking for, because that's what I'm looking at the message and see that it's come to. But now let's just look at what we've done this morning. We saw that the thunders sounded that weak to the prophet. Those angels being the Lord bringing the revelation of the seven seals, that was those thunders. But now that didn't mean that it was revealed to us, as I said this morning, because I wasn't there. But we found from the prophet that they'd be revealed right around the coming of the Lord to the bride. See, right around the coming of the Lord, they would sound to us, and we'd know what it was. It didn't mean it was done by God. It could only be brought by the seventh angel. And as he brought the message, then that was the thunders that everybody's wondered what it was. Well, see, then we can see it in simplicity, and it's like my wife said coming up row, then you can see that in the Scriptures. You can see the Scriptures line up. We don't have to go outside the Bible to try to find something. There's a lot of people who said they knew what the thunders were, but what's the message they preach that goes with it? If it exalts anything outside of Jesus Christ, then it would be false. If it leads you to anything else outside of what's already been preached, then it would be false. That's the way I check what a person's preaching to me, is by what I've already heard. What the Lord's already revealed to me is the way I check it. See, then in that I can look at it. But now the first fold of the seventh seal was those seven thunders, the revelations contained in the seven seals. We saw that that was when each seal came to an end because all the thunders are under the seventh seal. And that was what was going on all week to the prophet. What was going on all week, see, was those angels was bringing him those messages. Now I know people that believe those seven thunders were messengers introducing their converts to Christ. But Brother Branham said the thunders sound on the earth. That's on search what time is. Alright, then that's enough for me. I know they have sound in heaven, but that's enough for me to know they sound on earth. Alright? It was what was going on that week to him. Now here's what I want us to get to. 555 and 556. Just try to finish this message up if we can. That the seventh seal is the end of all things. Now he reads or comes down and quotes Revelation or starts on Revelation 8:1. Listen just for a few minutes. God of heaven, help us is my prayer. Just remember this seventh seal is the end of all things. That's right. The things written in the seventh seal book, sealed up with the plan of redemption from before the foundation of the world, it every bit ends. It's the end. It's the end of the struggling world. Now watch all the things that he names, and when you see the end of anything, there's your seventh seal. It's not the beginning of anything. When you see the end of it, then you'll see that it is the seventh seal. It's the end of the struggling world. Now where does the struggling world end? Under the sixth seal. You know, tribulation period, what it reveals. It's the end of struggling nature. It's the end of everything. And there's the end of the trumpets. It's the end of the vials. It's the end of the earth. It's even the end of time. Time runs out, the Bible said so. Revelation the 10th chapter, 1 to the 7th verse, time runs out. Now, we read that this morning where it gets down and says, and time shall be no more. You know, we read that scripture this morning, so you know what scripture is talking about. Revelation 10. Time runs out. The angel said time will be no more. When that, in the days of this great thing to happen, everything runs out in this time, this seventh seal. Notice it's the end of the church age. It's the end of the seventh seal. It's the end of the trumpets. It's the end of the vials. It even ends the ushering in of the millennium. That's on the seventh seal.
Now, how about a seal being so great that it's even written in the Bible in symbol? When the fifth seal broke, I saw souls under the altar. Said six of them had done been broken, put in Revelation 8:1. And when he had present revealed what that was, there was no like, because we've done showed over and over and over. And the first seal was revealed unto the, but he said, to many of, now that doesn't do it in the Bible. And they wasn't written in the prophet when he brought it, he said, well, to you personally what they are. He tells me what they are. They are, then they're the thunders to you, then you know what it is. Water baptism. Now, back for this message to tell me what he's, what the prophet said, not just this, that, the other. Long you'll be like the Baptist. What will be, will be. What will be, you know. Well, we can't do nothing about it. What will be, will. If it ain't long you'll run aground there. You have, your faith is built in what's already happened. You'll see me later come back more to that now under the seventh seal to us personal, because that seal is something to do with your own life. It's something you're living. You are the end of it. We're not looking for another message to come, are we? Then we're looking for this message here to be the one that would end it. Then the end of all things has come. We're at the end. That what I read there would be right in the scriptures then, that what it would be the end of it, and that he would what? First come and restore all things. And it would be already over, and people wouldn't even know it. And then you'd have to speak like Jesus spoke and said, didn't I tell you John the Baptist has done come? And you missed it. See, then it's the same way in the message. It would be that way because it was that way with him. He didn't see the future. Show me in the seal book where he talked to the future on the seventh seal. He talked to what had already been. Now listen. Didn't he say we ain't got nothing to go on but one scripture when I started here a few weeks ago on it? That he spoke about Jacob being changed to Israel, and he said that's the type of the order of God's type today. And he said this is all the scripture, Revelation 7. He said this is all we've got to go on. All right, then I'm telling you tonight, the only thing me and you got to go on to see the seventh seal, you'll never see it no other way than to see what's already happened. You can't see it out that way. There's nothing for you to go on. We can see what we'll do going that way. We can see the bride going in the rapture going that way. But you better get the seal in this right place to see that it's already happened. And the people's missed it. Because they've missed the simplicity of it. See, they was looking for something that way. When the prophet of God always spoke of what was back there behind him. Now when we get to it, you'll see, we'll go over it from Christ as a mystery of God revealed. Read that message before we get around to preaching on it and see if it don't come out that the prophet said right at the beginning of it, he said, you'll see why this morning, he's talking about the seventh seal on it because that's page 17. He said, you'll see why I've done what I've done all the years at the tabernacle. He was basing that whole revelation of that seventh seal on what had already happened in his life. You, listen, you can't have faith. What if they told you, now Danny's a gunman. He knows guns and likes guns and loves to collect them and all and shoot guns and things. But Danny, what if they told you, said, now, we've got this brand new weapon. We've got this brand new 357 that, boy, it's so great that when you fire it, it don't have no recoil at all. It just, you know, you just pull the trigger and it just, why'd you stay right in that place? And it's got so much ballistics to it that there's no other gun ever been made. It was as powerful as this gun. You'd lie, wouldn't you? Because you couldn't have confidence in that. Because you'd know that can't be done. It'd be impossible to build a gun that would be so great that the ballistics would be greater than that, that there wouldn't be a recoil to it. Now we know that, see, because we've been trained all the way through shooting from pistols to rifles to big guns and everything else. So then our confidence is built in what's already been. Man tell me that, I'd just laugh at him. I'd say, man, it can't be done. See, they'd be somewhere in that gun. Now, it might not shake in your hand. He might could build something that wouldn't shake in your hand. But somewhere in that gun, there's a recoil, ain't it? Be impossible to build it without a recoil. You might not feel the recoil, but somewhere in the gun, there's a recoil. See, you'd know the man wouldn't write. Or at least he didn't know what he's shooting. Our confidence is built in what's already been. My confidence is not built. Now watch this and see if every denomination ain't built on that. Ain't every denomination built on what the Lord's going to do one of these days. Boy, won't it be great when we get to heaven. They'll say, oh yeah, I'm a sinner in this body and I can't help but lust after women and run around and smoke and drink and chew and cuss because I'm just in this old body of flesh. But one of these days, the Lord's going to give me a new body. Brother Branham says you only change your dwelling place. Unbeliever here, you go over there, you just be an unbeliever. If you went to heaven right now, if you're an unbeliever, you go to heaven, you're just an unbeliever. So we know there ain't too many going to be there, are there? That way. But see, it's built on what's already happened. Now I want to preach some on that more and more later to show you real faith in a genuine point. Did David go out there, as Brother Woodby was preaching the other weekend, did David go out there and they put all of the armor of Goliath on him and everything? What did he say? He said, take his stuff off of me. See, they was telling him some great big thing that would take care of him and cover him and boy, he'd have a spear or a great thing, you know, that would take care of the giant. He said, take his thing off. He said, because I've never proved it. They said, what are you going to do, David? He said, I'm going out there with a sling. Now watch. There's no record. I want to show you this point of it. You'll see why it's built on his faith. There's no record David ever done anything with that sling. You know, like, he didn't kill the bear with a sling. He didn't kill the lion with a sling. He rose up and took his hands and killed it. Or he took a knife or something like that, see him killed. But he said, I've proved this sling and this rock I've got. And I'm going to meet him. Where did he prove it at? Do you know that David was so great a man with a sling? He had 300 left-handed throwers, the Bible records it, that it don't say how far it could throw. How many have ever shot a flip? I can shoot a flip better than a sling, can't you? A sling, you know what a sling is? There's two pieces of leather hung up here in a little pocket down here, and you swing it around and around like this, and you turn loose a one corner of it. Well, to me, the thing, I've tried that. It's liable to go any which way. But I can take a flip and do it out like that, and I can hit pretty good with it. You know. But David had 300 mighty men that could throw, the Bible said, at a hair's breadth. There ain't a 30-06 in the country to do that. They ain't a gun today made that'll shoot a hair's breadth. But he had 300 left-handed throwers that could throw at a hair's breadth. Who do you think taught them boys how to throw that sling, that rock? He said, I've proved this sling. I'm going with it. He knew that if he could ever find one weakness in that giant, he had him. And you know, they claiming all of that armor, but there was only one place. You know, that giant, man, he was standing up there, a great man. And there was only one spot it wouldn't cover, and that was right between his eyes. His helmet covered his whole head, but there's one little place. He figured he didn't ever need it. There's one little place right between his eyes that wouldn't cover it. Why, that man would kill a dozen. Why, he'd just laugh at him if a dozen men come up the mountain and fight him. The Bible said he was a warrior from his youth. He trained all his life. All he'd done just kill. That was what he'd done. But David knew if he could find one weakness, he could put that hair breadth of that rock in there. And he slapped him right between the eyes with the stump. That's how much confidence he had in it. Why? Because he'd used it before. My faith is not built on a God of tomorrow. My faith is built and built up in confidence over what's already happened in my life. I can't just come out here tonight and preach to you. Boy, ain't it going to be great when we get to heaven. I've enjoyed being here. I've enjoyed living this life. The Lord's been good to me. I've enjoyed living this life. And my confidence is built on what's already been. Wouldn't it be something to take, now look, a little baby, you know, a year old, and hold that little baby up and say, now, you son, you ain't never touched your feet on the floor because we've always carried you and never let you try to touch the floor. And say, now go walk. You're old enough now. That child couldn't walk, could he? He couldn't even crawl if you hadn't let him down. You learn by what's already happened. There's where your faith is built at. See why I want to preach on faith? I want to get back in the Bible there and show you those men were built on what had already happened in their lives. Moses, when it come to the Red Sea, the Lord reviewed his whole life to him on why Christ speak. Read that message. Be a good one. His whole life was brought before him. Said, haven't I brought you this? Didn't I do this? Didn't I do that? He said, now turn and speak the word and go forward. Not built on future events. It wasn't built on the future events to the prophet of God. That's why I tried to tell you down through there, and the people that missed the messages, see, wouldn't understand what you're talking about. I told it, wrote right here, see where these messages would come in handy now? You see where the messages we preached back there would come in handy now? Because they'll see that all down through there we stayed with that and watched it unfold coming down. Because it can only be revealed in what's already happened. So I believe the thunders had already sounded. I believe they sounded to me. I believe they revealed to me what the Lord had in store for me. See, it takes that then. And I think that's enough to be said about it. The thunders are the revelation contained in the seven seals, and I believe the Lord's revealed a seal to us. I'm talking about right here in this church in Lula is what I'm talking about now. That the Lord has revealed. I'm making it personal to us tonight, and you'll see that why I'm making it so personal later on as we go along. It's what the Lord reveals to you. That seventh seal is what the Lord reveals to you of your own life. And you'll see why that you've been the way you've been all your life. What do we think about predestination? What do we think about our life? Why is it, Brother Daugherty, now just go all the way back, why is it that you didn't drink like the rest of them? And I have no reflection now to black, because black or white is nothing to me. I don't even see black or white. I guess I am colored blind. I don't see black or white. You know, they claim colorblind person can't see color and all, you know, just sees one color. Well, that's the way I see it. But why is it, now that's throwing off on me, but most black men drink, don't they? I mean, the biggest portion of the black people drink. On the average, more than the white, as far as that would be saying they drank and come up that way. Not throwing either way, because all of them drunk and everything else. But why is it you didn't drink? You'll see one of these days that that seventh seal come right down through your life. And you'll come right out. Why are you doing it in Lula, Georgia tonight? See, why is it? Just talking to him personally, see. Because we know each other well enough. No, your father doesn't like black people too well. He told me about that a long time ago. I mean white people. Excuse me. Well, why is it he's here? See, it's something. Now, that's just that simple. That's what I'm getting down to. What caused you to be here and the rest of them gone? What caused you to stay when the rest of the people left? Well, I didn't have nowhere else to go. Well, you might find out one of these days that nowhere else to go was the Lord leading you. Brother Zimmer knew of a man that Brother Branham said, spoke to that man and said, the Lord had to drag you all the way up to Jeffersonville this time. Brother Zimmer knew of and knew Brother Branham and said that, went to the man and talked to him, said, did you feel any different going to Jeffersonville that time than any other? He said, no. But see, Brother Branham knew that there was things trying to cut him off from getting there. Maybe he had a flat. Maybe his car broke down. Maybe he done this, that, or the other, you know.
Man didn't even think nothing about it. Brother Branham said, you'll see why I've done what I've done all the years at the tabernacle. Then that seventh seal will be personal to you, till you'll see why you've done the way you've done and why you stayed. Listen, why you stayed with the Word and marched through. Now, these on tape especially, because some of them are a whole lot older than we are. But some of them come out of the Baptists, out of the Free Will, into the Pentecostals, out of that group, say, of the first ones, over into the Oneness. Then come on into this message. If you'll look at it right, you'll see the Lord guiding you all the way. But why did the Baptists just fall off and didn't do it? Why did those Free Will Baptists fall off and not take the Word? And you took it. Why did the Pentecostals, why did they reject it, Brother Darty, and you walked through it because he was in the Pentecostal? Sister Bird's come up through that. Why did you come out of one into another one, right on the end of the message? You say, well, I really didn't, you know, I just following the Lord. What you was doing was taking the Word the others wouldn't take and holding on to it. And that was the Lord dealing in your life. And you'll see that seventh seal come right down that channel until you can see yourself that where you are today and the rest has turned it down. See, because the Lord will bring you to that place to see that it's in your life. It's you. See, I want to talk to us personally. I might use names about other people and things like that, but it's to us. It don't mean no reflections. It's not on them. I might talk about Baptists, but my family's in the Baptist. I want the Lord to save them. But now, they won't come and listen to me. There's 9 of them. They'd be enough to have a church, more than what we got here. My family'd be more than what's in here tonight. It's my brothers and sisters and their, you know, wives and husbands. They'd be more than what we got here tonight. But why is it they won't come? See, there's something different. There's something there. They're good, honest-hearted people. Your families. I know some of your families and things. They're good people. But yet, why is it that you'd come and sit down and listen? It has something to do with you. It has something to do with your revelation. See? Why is it now, even to like Joyce and Danny and Terrence and Lisa? Most people that young, when they come up through the message, they'll come up to a certain place in the message and they'll stay there with Mom and Daddy because they have to, you know. They have to go to church with Mom and Daddy because Mom and Daddy makes them. They can't stay at home by themselves. But then when you go out on your own, why is it you're still coming? If it's for just Mom and Daddy, that won't do no good. But if it's something else in your life, then the Lord's directing you. But what we all need to do now is to yield more to that direction that He's given us. Because that has something to do with it. See, it don't say this, well, boy, I've been different all my life. You know, well, you can make yourself different. But when the Holy Ghost makes you different, then there is a difference. Joyce, would you come? Let's just think on them things. The end of all things has come. The seventh seal ends all things. When we go into rapture, that'll be the seventh seal that ends the rapture. That don't mean the seventh seal's over. The tribulation comes. When it ends the tribulation, then that's over there. That don't mean it's over, because there's a great white throne judgment that's got to come and be ended out there. And you know what ends it all? When all things become new. That brings it to an end when all things become new. So let's just sing that my faith looks up to thee, because that's what it, my faith has been built in my life on what the Lord has done. Let's stand together and just sing that to the Lord, because my faith is built now on what's already happened, not on what will happen.
I hope you see the illustration, like, say, the gun they claim they could make. No, they can't do it. There's got to be a recoil there somewhere. Look, because my faith is built on what's already. I've been kicked in the head by guns, and I've been just about everything else with a gun. I know there's a recoil. I've laid down on the ground and take them and try to zero them in, they call it, and wind up with a great big cut right around through there where the scope come back and hit me in the eye, and they call it an idiot. Something, I forgot what it is, but there's a name for it. But, you know, you get too close to the scope. You don't hold a gun tight enough. There's a recoil there. Why? My confidence is built in that. I've had it to happen to me. And I wouldn't care what they told me they could do. That wouldn't work. But so is it with God. So was it with David when he took the sling and he said, I go face the giant. In the revelation of my faith, he said, because when I was out there as a child, said a bear came in and took one of the lambs. He said, I rose up and killed the bear. And he said, a lion come in. He said, I rose up and killed him. And he, when he was standing there talking about that giant, he said, the heavenly father that would take care of my natural daddy's sheep, you know, just his father's sheep, said, surely he'll deliver that uncircumcised Philistines into the hand. He went out there on the basis of what he'd done in his life. He didn't want none of the armor of Saul. He'd never tried that. He didn't know what to do with it. But he wanted the word of the Lord. That's where my faith is based in what the Lord's done for me all these years and brought me to this place. That people might laugh and make fun of me, but they don't come around just slanging the message in a way either. They don't come around saying, Brother Branham said this and Brother Branham said that. When I say, Brother, he didn't say it. Now produce it or shut up and apologize to the group. See, because the Lord's made me to that place. He's given me the ability to remember. To know when a man misses the message. And see, they call me a know-it-all, a smart aleck. But they know better than to come sit down, too. Because the Lord has been gracious and used us to bring the message to the place that it stands today. You say, well, it's just a handful of us here. Jesus had 12. I was thinking about that today. Thinking, Lord, how it is just a few of us. But Jesus had 12. The God of heaven had 12. But my faith is built here. My faith looks up to thee. Thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while take all my guilt away. Oh, let me from this day be holy thine. Build on what I believe, Lord. May thy rich grace impart strength to my fainting heart, my zeal inspire, as thou hast died for me. Oh, may my love to thee warm and changeless be a living. Anyone have a need now as we sing this one? While life's dark maze I tread, and griefs around me spread, be thou my guide, bid darkness turn to day, wipe sorrow's tears away.
not led me ever stray from thee.
Aside, let's all just pray together. Father, we thank you for an opportunity to have seen what we've seen in our day and to walk where we've walked. Lord, as we've come to a place here to bring what we believe to be the word that you've given unto us, we commit it into your hands, believing you that you, Lord, will give the increase unto it. That, Father, that others may hear about Jesus through the message is what we want. We want to just walk in the light and have fellowship one with another. And if we can help our brothers along the way and our sisters, that's our goal, Lord. That's our thoughts, is to just be a help to others. Let it be, Lord, that you'd come now and back up the words that you've given us, that we may walk in the light now because we see it. May those that don't see it, may they pray and study and listen very carefully to the Lord as he speaks unto them. May we all walk in you and be guided by your grace. Forgive our sins, Lord. Lift us up in you. And Lord, just have your will and way in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. Take the...